had to whittle down your choices again, and then which did you choose? But one thing's for sure. When you're standing in line at the supermarket, with all these items in your arms, your celery, rice milk, Oreos, and M&Ms, nobody can see what you believe. What you do is supposed to serve as the tangible proof of what you believe, but you bought everything. But what if you knew your why before you went to the supermarket? What if your why is to do things that are healthy, to always do the things that are good for your body? You'll get all the same advice from all the same people. The only difference is, the next time you go to the supermarket, you'll only buy rice milk and you'll only buy celery. Those are the only two products that make sense. It's not that the other advice isn't good, it's just not good for you. The advice doesn't fit. Filtering your decisions through your why, you spend less time at the supermarket, you spend less money at the supermarket. So there's an efficiency advantage also. You're guaranteed to get value out of all the products you bought. And most importantly, when you're standing in line with your products in your arms, everyone can see what you believe. With only celery and rice milk, it's obvious to people walking by what you believe. I can see that you believe in looking after your health, they may say to you. I feel the same way. I have a question for you. Congratulations. You just attracted a customer, an employee, a partner, or a referral simply by making the right decisions. Simply ensuring that what you do proves what you believe makes it easy for those who believe what you believe to find you. You have successfully communicated your why based on what you do. This is an idealistic concept, and in the real world, that level of discipline is not always possible. I understand that sometimes we have to make short-term decisions to pay bills or get some sort of short-term advantage. That's fine. The celery test still applies. If you want a piece of chocolate cake, go right ahead. The difference is, when you start with why, you know full well that the chocolate cake is a short-term decision that doesn't fit with your beliefs. You're under no illusions. You know that you're doing it only for the short-term sugar rush, and you'll have to work a little harder to get it out of your system. It's astounding the number of businesses I see that view an opportunity as the one that's going to set them on a path to glory, only to have it blow up or slowly deflate over time. They see the chocolate cake and can't resist. Starting with why not only helps you know which is the right advice for you to follow, but also to know which decisions will put you out of balance. You can certainly make those decisions if you need to, but don't make too many of them. Otherwise, over time, no one will know what you believe. Here's the best part. As soon as I told you the why, you knew that we were only going to buy celery and rice milk even before I said it. As soon as I gave you the filter, as soon as I said the why, you knew exactly what decisions to make before I said so. That's called scale. With a why clearly stated in an organization, anyone within the organization can make a decision as clearly and as accurately as the founder. A why provides the clear filter for decision making. Any decisions, hiring, partnerships, strategies, and tactics should all pass the celery test. The more celery you use, the more trust you earn. Mark Rubin is a good parent. He spends a lot of time with his two daughters, Lucy and Sophie. One Saturday afternoon, his wife, Claudine, took Lucy to a friend's house for a playdate, and Mark was left home to look after the 5-year-old Sophie. Feeling a little tired, Mark really wanted to just have a little time to relax on the couch and not have to play treehouse again for the 9th time that day. To keep Sophie occupied, he opted for the TV as babysitter. Mark had 2 brand new DVDs to choose from. He'd seen neither of them and heard nothing about either of them in the press or from any of his friends with small children. Mark didn't feel like watching the cartoon himself. The plan was to let Sophie enjoy the movie in one room while he watched something else in the other room. One of the DVDs was from some company he'd never heard of. The other one was from Disney. Which one do you think he put in the DVD player? Which one would you put in the DVD player? The answer is so clear, it verges on a silly question, but let's consider the facts for fun. Both DVDs were cartoons. Both were age-appropriate for children. Both had a couple of good reviews on the packaging. The only difference is that we trust the DVD from Disney. Disney is not a perfect company. They occasionally have management and leadership issues. Their stock price sometimes goes down. They have lawsuits filed against them all the time. Some would lump them in with all the other nasty corporations that work to appease Wall Street. So why would we trust them? Disney operates with a clear sense of why. They exist to promote good, clean, family fun. And everything they say and do has, for decades, worked to prove it. The reason we trust Disney is simple. We know what they believe. They pass the celery test. They have been so consistent over time in everything they say and do that parents trust them enough to expose their children to Disney content without vetting it first. This has nothing to do with quality products. This is not rational. Southwest Airlines also passes the celery test. The company has been so consistent over time that we almost know what to expect from them. The airline only offers open seating on its flights, for example. It's one of the things they do to prove that they believe in freedom. It just makes sense. A company that serves the common man and values the equality for all so much could never have a class structure. If Delta or United or Continental tried to do the same, it wouldn't make sense. Open seating doesn't fit their why. In violation of celery. Birkenstock sandals, tie-dyed t-shirts, daisy chains, and a VW van. All are symbols of the hippie ideals of peace, love, and all things vegetarian. So it was a bit of a surprise in 2004 when Volkswagen introduced a $70,000 luxury model to their lineup. The company, famous for putting a vase for fresh flowers on the dashboard of their new Beetle, introduced the Phaeton in an attempt to compete with the high-end luxury cars, including the Mercedes-Benz S-Class and the BMW 7 Series. The V8 335-horsepower car boasted some of the most advanced features in the industry, like an air compressor suspension system and a draftless four-zone climate control. It even included an electronically controlled shiatsu massage system in the seats. The car was an astounding achievement. It was very comfortable, and it was a monster on the road, outperforming other, more established luxury cars in its class. The critics loved it. But there was a small problem. Despite all the facts and figures, features and benefits, regardless of the world-renowned German engineering, few people bought one. It just didn't make sense. What VW had done was inconsistent with what we know them to believe. Volkswagen, which translated means people's car, had spent generations making cars for you and me. Everyone knew what VW stood for: power to the people. It brought its cause to life in products that were all about quality that the average person could afford. In a single swoop of German ingenuity, VW had been put completely out of balance.